Hi, everybody. Steve Savitsky, and today we have a very interesting person, extremely, really, very, very knowledgeable about a topic I'm sure everyone's going to find very, very interesting. Her name is Yocheved Dibau. I hope I pronounced it correct. I'll find out in a second. And she is a doctorate from Bar-Ilan University School of Education, and she focuses on sexuality and intimacy education in the modern Orthodox community. And she's the author of a book called Talking About Intimacy and Sexuality, A Guide for Orthodox Jewish Parents, published by Ketav and the OU Press. You can't get better than that. How are you today, Yocheved?
Baruch Hashem, I am well, thank you. Greetings from Gush Etzion.
Well, okay. I mean, this is certainly an interesting topic, one that I don't think too many people have written on. Am I right about this? Is this something which is widely published or not?
Certainly not widely published in the Orthodox Jewish community, or there's lots of books, you know, out there in the world.
That we all know there's a lot of books out there in the world, and but for the Orthodox Jewish community, you know, I guess not. By the way, you know, I don't want to ask you how you define modern Orthodox community, but isn't this book for anybody who's a Torah Jew? I mean, basically.
Absolutely.
Oh, but, yeah, good.
You know,
okay, because we don't like labels.
Yeah, I mean, it's also for people who are values based and can see, you know, can adapt the values to their values. It's you know, it's a pretty broad base, but it is. I certainly use halacha as my guide, so it has to be people who care about halacha.
You've written an article. It's going to be in the Jewish Action in the summer of 2013. And the article is actually called Why We Need to Talk to Our Children About Sexuality. So let's talk about the article. Let's talk about the book. I think one of the things you're saying, I mean, you know, just kind of, you know, reading it, it seems that you're really saying to people, look, they're going to find out about it one way or the other. Don't you want to be the one to teach them?
Yeah, that definitely is what I'm saying. I mean, I'm saying they're going to find about it one way or the other, and they're appropriately curious. And traditionally, you know, we haven't really talked about it. But in general, I think it's healthier to hear about it from your parents and from a reliable source than the tremendous amount of misinformation that most people I know walked around with as they were growing up.
Mm-hmm. So now, parents, I guess, don't do this because they feel they're not prepared, they don't think it's the right venue. Why aren't they doing it?
I mean, lots of different reasons. It's an uncomfortable topic to talk about, and that's true for all parents across our Western society, religious or not religious. You know, we get worried that maybe our kids will be thinking about us when we talk about it, all sorts of things that hold us back from doing it, and we always hope that if we wait a little longer, maybe it'll be the right time. But nowadays, kids know a lot very early on.
Now, of course, as you said, you know, it all depends upon the child, how old they are, many other factors. So what's the ideal age to begin this conversation?
So I don't like to give a magic number, but I would say...
Okay, let's give a range.
Really
from what to what?
So I would say, you know, I mean, around when we talk about puberty, I would say somewhere between 7 and 11.
7 and 11, okay.
It really depends on your kid. And you and what's comfortable for you and oldest, youngest child in the family, lots of factors, but somewhere in there, 11, 12, you know, certainly by bar mitzvah, so they should know the facts of life, I think.
And I think also, you know, it seems to be that what you're saying is that the Torah way of life is so all-encompassing, and it covers everything, that we shouldn't be afraid to talk about this because this is Torah.
Absolutely. I mean, I actually have a Gemara in the article that discusses that. Certainly.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you. Oh, I was going to ask you about that Gemara. Baruchah 62a. Oh, yes. We were going to get to that question,
yeah,
of course.
But this is Torah. Okay, right. This is part of what it means to be human. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, blessed us with sexuality as a beautiful gift of communication between male and female. And in that sense, I think teaching about it from that perspective, particularly because the perspective in the world nowadays is so unholy, that we want to help our kids see that, you know, we see it as something beautiful and holy when used appropriately. Also, I think the younger kids are, the more neutral it is. As they get older, it gets uncomfortable.
So it's easier when they're younger. You say also it should be as straightforward as you can be. I mean, you don't want to make up a story that somewhere down the road they come back and say, you told me this or you told me that. I mean, are you better off just leaving things out?
100%. never lie, because then you become an unreliable source of information for your children, and that's terrible. And I in my book, I actually give 3 or 4 different kind of formula for depending on the age and depending on how much information you want to give about where babies come from. And right. I definitely say, like, they don't need all the information when they're very little. You can start with some information. You know, it takes a man and a woman to make a baby. That's something that they have to do together that's very special and very private. You don't have to say more than that to young kids. And that's it. And then when they come back and say, wait 1 second, what is it exactly that they have to do together? Then, you know, you've got to continue the story. But never tell an untruth, because they won't come back to you. And none of us want that as parents.
So it's really a continuation also. In other words, you're going to begin this, you know, the education at one stage. And then as they get older, they're going to come. You want them to feel comfortable enough to come back to you and ask you questions.
Absolutely. And what you're saying actually is debunking a myth, the idea that there's the talk that you have with your child about, you know, where babies come from, and you can put a check on it. So I don't agree with that at all. And most, I think, sexuality educators don't. Exactly as you say, you want to be in conversation with them. You want it to be something that they can keep coming back and asking you. You want to become what I call an askable parent, someone who they know they can turn to because you are reliable and you listen to them and you're not afraid of their questions. And it's an ongoing conversation, because the conversation you have with a 7-year-old is very different from the conversation you have with a 10-year-old, which is very different from what you have with a 15-year-old. But you want to have all those conversations.
Right. Now, just out of curiosity, I mean, I know they talk about the birds and the bees. So in Hebrew, do they use? Is there a term they use in Israel which is similar like that?
I think so, but I actually don't like the term.
Okay. But sometimes I'm always amazed at some of the phrases I hear in Ivrit, which are translated from other languages.
Yeah.
Okay, so you talk about that the Torah, you're telling the story of Rav Kahana, okay, who hid under his teacher's bed in Gemara and Brachas.
Yeah.
So why do you think that's, you know, like a kind of a proof that you should be learning from everybody? Because he wasn't rebuked, is that what it is? I mean, because he said this is Torah and I must learn it?
Because he says this is Torah and he gets the last word in the Gemara. So clearly the Gemara agrees with him that this is Torah and I need to learn it and someone has to teach me. And I, you know, I come to my Rebbe because he teaches me everything, but if he doesn't, then I guess I have to go somewhere else. In other words, he actually had been educated to know that this was something that his Rav also had something to, you know, would also have something to say about, which I think most of our kids and students don't necessarily know. But he hadn't been told anything. And I think the fact that the Gemara ends with his words is very significant.
And so, in other words, the Gemara is really not critical of him for asking the question,
yes,
or for trying to find out the appropriate way to have a relationship, but they question the venue of how he did it.
Absolutely. Obviously, it wasn't appropriate. But, you know, you have someone who's very curious and recognizes this is part of Judaism and he wants to know about it and doesn't know how to find out because no one's talking.
Mm-hmm.
I compare that to our kids nowadays. There's plenty of inappropriate venues and, you know, unreliable information available to them. I mean, please God, I think they're smart enough not to try the, you know, that Gemara option. But still, we don't want them to learn from many, many places.
I don't think that would work too well. Where do you think kids should go? I mean, should the parents be the first to teach? And what about this in schools? Schools have a big thing about sex education and so on. Is that right? Or do you think it should be done at home?
So, I mean, I think we need both. I think that our kids get so many negative, inappropriate messages about sexuality from media, even when they're, you know, minimally exposed, that the quiet little voice, both of parents and of the few teachers who are willing to talk about it, are very, very important as a counter. And I do think it's a shared parent-school mission.
Uh-huh.
I mean, probably ideally it should come from parents, but it's hard for parents to do. And I'll tell you that even parents, even teachers I know who do a wonderful job as teachers, always talk about how difficult it is for them to do it for their own children.
Now, I know that reading your bio that, I mean, you know, you live in Israel in Alon Shvut, beautiful community, and you have 6 children. What are their ages?
My oldest is 19 and my youngest is 6.
So you've had the opportunity to really take this theoretical idea to the laboratory, and you've used it with your own kids, I presume, right?
Absolutely. My kids are definitely my most important source of learning.
Did it work well? What were some of the challenges that you had with that?
Well, different kids have different needs. I mean, that's part of what you asked about, what's an ideal age. So there isn't one age that works for everybody, and that's true also for my own children. You know, I have children who are more open, children who are less open, children who are more comfortable, children who really don't want to hear so much. And the challenge is, you know, I mean, there's multiple challenges. Challenge is finding time for them alone. The challenge is saying the right words to the right child at the right time. You know, the challenge is once you told your older kids, younger kids seem to learn much earlier, so those change the dynamics of how we do things. But you know, thank God they'd be very kind to me in helping me learn.
Now, is it true also that as society changes, maybe the age goes down because there's so much available, so that your oldest child might have been, you know, ready for this at X age and the younger one might be ready for it at a much younger age?
Not only because society's changed, but I think also because a younger member of a family is exposed to much more than the oldest is. So that, you know, I think in general when there are older siblings, kids know earlier than the younger kids know more, just because there's sort of more conversation in the house than, you know, as your oldest is growing up. But that certainly has an impact also. Okay. And I mean, you know, being involved in this education means there's much more talked about around my house than probably the average house.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. I'm sure that's definitely true. You know, someone asks you, what does your mother do? And they say, well,
Yeah, they're very good at taking a
we'll talk
on
about,
that one.
We'll talk about it privately, okay?
A really nice hat you're wearing over there.
And then you talk about the, you know, is your child ready to discuss sexuality? And you say there are four factors. So let's talk about the four factors that you mentioned. So let's start with the first. What is that? Charles Mueller. Okay. So who is your child friendly with, and what is the nature of this information? So depending on where they are, maturity-wise, really.
Well, both maturity-wise, and also, you know, if your child's best friend is someone who you know, you know, the family is very permissive in terms of what information their best friend has, or again, youngest child in a family of older children and you have an oldest child, chances are your friends, you know, their best friend's going to know, and it's the kind of information that kids sometimes like to share with each other. So that sense of, you know, who's the world around them and how much information are they going to have, so that if you want to be the first person to talk to your child, you need to think about what their social world is, how much TV do they watch, what kind of TV are they watching, if they're watching shows, all those kinds of things.
Okay, then you talk about the child's maturity. Could they handle this? I guess this is once again an issue, right?
Yeah, and that's really, I mean, I don't know your children, but, you know, kids at 9 can be very different even within the same family.
Oh, sure. Of course. No question about it. Right.
So, in that sense, you have to know what they can manage, what they're ready for.
What about openness? What does that mean, you know?
It's more about the culture within your family.
Okay.
You know, some families talk about everything. Some families are very, very careful what they talk about. Some parents, you know, just by definition, some people are more open or more closed. So, that has to do with sort of the kind of work you're going to have to do on your own comfort level. If you never talk about anything and all of a sudden you're talking about things that are sort of pretty private, it might be uncomfortable for you and be surprising for your children. So that kind of question.
And then when you talk about the last one, which I thought was interesting, which is the norms of the community. I presume that you lived in the States at one time and you made Aliyah?
Yeah.
Right. So where did you live in the States?
I lived in Cleveland.
Cleveland, Ohio. Okay. So when you talk about the norms of the community, I presume it must be different. And is it different in Israel? I mean, like, now you live in Alon Shvot. So had you stayed in Cleveland, would you be doing the same thing at the same age with your children, or because you live in Israel, that's changed?
That's a good question. I imagine the norms are different. You know what? Like, once I left Cleveland and brought my children up here, it's hard for me to know what I would have done if I'd stayed there. But definitely the norms of sort of, you know, cultural exposure to sexuality, I would say, are probably broader in the U.S. than they are in Israel. Although it still depends on, you know, there's sort of a lot of shades of modern Orthodox in Israel also, and it really depends what community you belong to. So it's hard for me to say, but definitely, you know, the different levels of exposure impact on how much you think your children might know earlier rather than later.
And I guess you come in. Do you have a private practice also?
Not at the moment. No, I have to be working in education.
Okay. Okay. So you come into the States to speak about the book and about what you do, or you don't usually do that?
Yeah, I have been doing that recently quite a bit. I have curriculum that I developed for day schools, for elementary school and for high school. The elementary school is actually published in the high school curriculum. I work with schools, so I've done a lot of teachers training. Mostly in the U.S., but just starting in Israel.
Very good. If people want to get in touch with you, what's your email?
yocheveddebo@gmail.com. That's two D's.
Okay. yocheveddebow.
Exactly. At gmail.com.
Right. Okay. Good. Beautiful. And it sounds really, really fascinating. And so let me just tell everybody in the audience once again, the book is called Talking About Intimacy and Sexuality, A Guide for Orthodox Jewish Parents. Really, really interesting, put out by Ketav and the OU Press. And we thank you very, very much, Yocheved, for coming on the program. And everyone, I think it's a very interesting topic. And I'm sure that if you have other questions, I'm sure you could email and then take a look and see if you can get the book. Have a great day. Thank you so much for being here, okay?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for your interest. And be well. And
my pleasure. Thank you so much. Be well. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.